Can you turn the piano down just slightly? Thank you. All right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Shalom. Shabbat shalom.
Come unto me and I'll give you rest. Take up my yoke.
yoke, for my burden is easy, and I will give you rest. La 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 la. Give you rest. Take up my yoke, for my burden is easy, and I will give you rest.
La la la
la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la la, and I will give you rest. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, everybody.
Shabbat shalom.
Come unto him, all who are weary, and he will give you rest on this Shabbat and any day. Praise the Lord. Come unto him. So, Lord, we come unto you today. We welcome your presence here. And we ask for your rest today, that you would give us your rest. In the name of Yeshua, Lord, we ask, we invite you, we welcome your presence. We invite you, Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit. We welcome you here in this place. Have your way with us now, and bind the strong man in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. The blessing of the Messiah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu et derech ha-yeshua b'mashiach Yeshua. Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Where you dwell, in the place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow,
bend the knee before the Lord my Maker.
And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord,
be at the right time, O God, in your abundant righteousness,
answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Veshamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Veshamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. B'nai, oh B'nai, B'nai Israel, B'nai Israel, Od Hili Olam V'shamru, B'nai Israel, Et HaShabbat, Lasod Et HaShabbat, Edo Tamarit Olam. Ki sheshet yamim asah Adonai, shemayim v'haaretz v'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. Yom ha-shavi, Shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash v'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested, one was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen. Shabbat shalom, everybody.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom, friends online. It's Rabbi Joe. I suppose if you're watching, you know it's for Zion's Sake Ministries, because you had to go there to get to watch us. But anyway, I want to welcome you, and this is Rebbetzin Dawn's last day for a while. She's going to be going off to learn how to fly a new jet for a few months, so probably won't be seeing her for a little while, but we're glad she's here today, and we're excited for her, and it's going to be difficult for our family, but it's an exciting time. Hallelujah. Great. Let's pray for Jerusalem.
Pray for Jerusalem,
that there'll be peace again. Lord, will
prosper them that love her.
And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, present to Jerusalem
Shalom Aleichem.
Pray for Jerusalem, let there be peace, not war. And let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem and Ukraine and the world. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now, and we pray Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Israel and Jerusalem and for your people Israel. Lord, we pray for their salvation. Pray that you would remove the blinders, scales from their eyes, Lord. And that as the challenges. Israel right now is in a very prosperous period, and they are materialistic and very focused on wealth and things like that. And not all Israelis are rich by any means, but the tech ones are, and the people that are in business. So there's a great disparity in Israel between the rich and the poor. But we just pray, Lord, for their salvation, Lord, and things will not always be so nice there. And right now we pray for the 50 to 400,000 Jews in Ukraine, Lord, that are stuck there, they're trapped, that are, I believe all signs are pointing to war in Ukraine, and just pray for their protection and for the protection of your people, Lord, all your people, Jew and non-Jew, Lord. We just pray, Lord, for their protection and that you would shelter them in any conflict, any war with Russia. And the largest Messianic synagogue in the world is in Kiev, Ukraine. And we just pray, Lord, for our brothers there. And I thank you. I can't remember all their names. I know them, the leaders. But thank you that you just watch over them, Lord, and help anyone who can get out. And those who can flee to safety, help them to flee to safety. Lord, take them to a safe place, I pray, in the name of Yeshua. In the name of Yeshua, Lord, we pray. Pray, Lord, for for our president, I call him Pino, president in name only. We pray for the guy that runs this country, Lord, that he would... make a right decision, and that he would show strength, Lord, that our government would begin to show some some strength and fortitude, Lord, that our government would show some fortitude and strength. And the world right now looks at us as a joke, and they are running roughshod over us and doing whatever they want. All of our enemies and are just doing whatever they want and having a ball laughing at us. And now we're making a deal with the devil, Iran, to get 1 million barrels of oil out of them. And we keep making deals with the devil, and you never win when you make deals with the devil. So I don't expect them to stop. I don't expect them to change. But I do expect them to lose the next election. And so, Lord, deliver us. Save us. And we know, Lord, that in the long run, what's happening in Canada, the martial law and the dictatorship that seems to be forming up there, is going to come here. It's right at our doorstep. So the only thing that's stopping it is half a billion guns in the hands of citizens in this country. And we know they're trying to get those guns out of people's hands, but we just pray, Lord, that we thank you, Lord, that their people have them. And we just pray, Lord, we thank you that America has more time, Lord, but we just thank you in the name of Yeshua. Bless the Messianic leaders today. Give them strength in the spirit to preach the truth. Courage, and not to fear man. I pray for our leaders that they would be fathers, that our executive directors and our executive boards, that they would be fathers to us and would minister to the rabbis and intercede for us. Pray that they would do a new thing in leading us, that you would give them fresh vision, fresh anointing, Lord, and that they would lead us in a new direction. And do a new thing with them, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. Lord, we just pray for our lost loved ones, for their salvation, Lord, and our friends who've been sick, Lord, with COVID and other things, heart disease and cancer, So many people, Lord. My friend Jamie's brother has stage 4 colon cancer, and her mother can't use her legs, and just so many people struggling right now. We just pray for them, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. I lift them up to you, and you know their needs, Father. Remember them. I can't name them all. I don't have a list in front of me. But you know everyone I'm thinking of in my heart. And you know the people that are in our hearts, those who are here and those who are listening. You can name them. You can, if you call them, call out their names, if you're praying for them, for someone that needs prayer today, Lord. Just call out their name right now. Call it out. Somebody you know that needs prayer and needs salvation. Yes. Joan. Yvonne. Molly, Mark, Barbara. And their kids. Thank you, Lord. Joni. Thank you, Father. Lenore. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hear our prayers. In the name of Yeshua, we pray, Lord. Now bless this service, Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen. Okay, I'm going to do the avot on page 21 in your prayer book, and then I guess you can see the translation on page 22. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Elohei Avoteinu Elohei Abraham Elohei Yitzchak Elohei Yaakov Ha'el Hagadol Hagibor Hanora El Elyon Gomel Chasadim Tovim Bekone Ha'kov Zocher Chaste Avot Umevi Goel Ivnei Vnehem Lema'an Shemo Yahava. And that is,
blessed are you, O Lord our God, God of our fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, the great, mighty, and awesome God, the Most High God, who bestows grace and creates all, and remembers the kindness of the fathers, and brings a redeemer to their children's children, for his name's sake, with love. Melech Chozer U'Mashiach U'Magen.
Melech Chozer U'Mashiach U'Magen. Baruch Atah Adonai, Baruch Atah Adonai, Magen Avraham. Baruch Atah Adonai, Baruch Atah Adonai, Magen Avraham.
O King, Helper, Savior, and Shield, blessed are you, O Lord, Shield of Abraham. And now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and bring Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Be gracious, O Lord our God, to your people, Israel, and accept their prayer. Restore the worship of Israel, your sanctuary.
the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed, Yahavta El Adonai Elohecha, V'chol Levavcha, V'chol Nafshecha, ובכל מעודך, והיו הדברים האלה, אשר אנוכי מצווך היום על לבביך, ושינתם לבניך, ודיברת בם, בשבתך בביתך, ובלכתך בדרך, ובשכבך, וקומך, וקשרתם להיות על ידך, והיו לטוטפות בין עיניך,
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. Let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. Amen. Answer to that is Ein Kamocha Adonai v'Ein Kamasecha Malchutcha Malchut Ko Olamim Umemshaltecha Bechol Dor V'Dor Adonai Melech Adonai Malach Adonai Imloch Leolam Vahed Adonai Oz Le'amo Yitain Adonai Varech Et Amo V'Shalom.
There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom,
and your dominion is for all generations.
The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever.
The Lord will give strength unto his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace.
Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch Hu et Adonai Alvorah,
Baruch Adonai Hamrach Lilam Va'ed.
Baruch Adonai Hamrach Lilam Va'ed.
Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher Barkar
Banu Mikol Hamim.
Ve'natan
Lanu Et Torato. Baruch Atah Adonai Noten HaTorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One.
Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us your Torah.
Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Okay, today's Torah Parsha is called Ki Tisa, and it's from Exodus chapter 30 through 34. And the half Torah is 1 Kings 18. And Ki Tisa means when you take. And God is instructing Moses. I guess in the United States we call it a census. But if you study God's word, we'll see today that God tells us that it's a curse to number people. God didn't want people numbered. He already knew. If he knows how many hairs are on your head, he certainly knows how many people are wandering around wherever they're at. Some of them, I'm not sure they know where they're at, but they're wandering around, you know. But, you know, God tells Moses, instead of a census, you better, let's just call it a tax. And we know what that is. Getting close. Getting close again for tax time. So he says, here's what we'll do. We'll make everyone 20 years and older that's able to serve in the military. We'll bring a half shekel of silver. And that would be for all people, and it would be for the atonement. And so what would happen, Moses would just count the shekels and not the people. That's the way God planned it. He didn't count the people. He counted the shekels. And we see in 2 Samuel chapter 24, we see David, who had the heart of God, but he did something. He listened to Satan do something. And in 2 Samuel, we see that God brought a plague upon the land of Israel, and 70,000 people died because David adhered to what something Satan wanted him to do, and he numbered the people of Israel, and God destroyed 70,000. We have to remember that Satan, or HaSatan, he leads people astray, as he did David, and he's led us astray. His main goal is to kill and to destroy. He is a destroyer of those. He's the accuser of those. He stands now and accuses each of us today about anything that goes on. He's the accuser. And so we see today, if you hope you read the Torah portion, we see God has got two young men. And I was reading today, Betzaval was only like 13 years old, and God chose him to lead and to correct and make the various artifacts that goes into the tabernacle. And he gave him wisdom, and he gave him an ability of artistry that made him a master at handling gold and silver and bronze. He was able to mold those things into the beautiful things that went into the temple. And he had a helper called Elhadav, and he was also selected to be one of the people that received the special attributes that God had given them to make the tabernacle such a beautiful place. And we see today, if you read it, you know, Moses is up at Mount Sinai, and he's receiving the 10 utterances, but something's going on down below, and the Israelites, you know, Moses has been gone for a while, and they're beginning to wonder, well, he may have starved to death, or he may have died, or maybe God slew him on the mountain, but we need something we can see, something physical. So they convinced Aaron to take the gold earrings and rings and things they had and melt them and make a golden calf. And of course, I'm sure you've heard the story many times. Of course, the calf was an idol god in Egypt, and they were very familiar with the Egyptian gods, having lived there over 200 and some years. So they were familiar with the Egyptian gods. So he made them a god, and they began to worship and dance it. And God said, "You better get down there. They're in rivalry down there, and you know something's going on." I mean, God already knew what was going on. So Moses, when he gets there, he sees what's going on. He breaks the two commandments. They were made out of they were cut from the floor of the throne room of God, of God's kingdom in heaven. That's where they came from. They were sapphire. And it says that you could see them from the front or the back. You could see All 10 of the words are called the 10 words that God had put upon those two tablets. And so he destroys the tablets in his anger. And God kills or destroys 3,000 that day before Moses cries out to spare the children of Israel and not blot them from the book of life. And if you know anything about Shavuot, you know in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, that 3,000 new believers came into the kingdom of God. So the ones that were destroyed, God put them back into the kingdom of God. They became believers on Shavuot, which is Pentecost. But Moses has to go back, and God says, you make two tablets. It doesn't say they were made from the sapphire stone. I don't think they were. It doesn't say. It just says, you make two tablets. They could have been marble or something like that. But he makes two tablets. He goes back up, and he stays there. He wants to see God. And so God shows him his backside. He picks him into a cleft of a rock and covers him with his hand. But something very unusual takes place when Moses comes down, back down the second time with the tablets. We see that his face has changed, and he has a glorified face. His face is very glorious. It's very shiny, and the people can't look upon him, so he has to put a veil upon his face. You know, and it's very interesting. It gives us a glimpse back at Adam and Eve. You know, Adam and Eve were made in the very image of God. And to being in the image of God, I feel they did not have any sin until later on. But they were sinless. And I think they bore the appearance of God. I feel when he says that they bore the appearance of God, I think he's telling us that they bore the light of God himself. It emanated from their bodies. Because after all, the scripture says if you see the face of God, you'll die. But they walked with God. And they talked with God. So they had to see him face to face because he was there. So I think what God gave them, it was a body. I think when he created them, they had a body that was like God's body. And it shone the light of God. You know, and they knew no sin. But when they went and took, Satan convinced them to eat of the forbidden tree. And I know there's a lot of jokes about it was an apple. I personally don't believe it was an apple. I think it was something more God had planned for the future. And we won't go into that today. But they did not know sin until they disobeyed God. And God already knew that something had happened. And something happened to them. You see, light in God's kingdom is called ori. And I was studying this week another word that is a byproduct or another part of that word is called uri. And it's different because uri is skin. I looked it up and it means skin. So they changed. When they sinned, the glory or the light of God departed from them. And God had to cover them. And I think he covered them it says he covered them with animal skin. And we're an animal to some extent. And he covered them and us with skin. It doesn't glow. It doesn't glow. It's mortal. Our skin, their body was immortal. If they'd have stayed in the Garden of Eden, they would have still been there today. But we have a mortal body that dies away until we meet and are coming to heaven, and then we'll receive the glorified body that we will have on that day. So they sinned, and they lost the light of God because of that. You know, when you look at the Word of God, it says the more you know God about the Torah, the more you know about God. And the more you know about God, the more you will walk in his ways and follow his statutes and his commandments. You see, when you look at John chapter 14, you know, a couple months ago, we saw in the Torah about Pharaoh who said, who is this God that you want us to obey? Who is he? We don't know him. We're not familiar with him. But what did Yeshua say in John 14? He says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. We must pick up the execution stake to follow Jesus or follow Yeshua. To follow him, we must die to ourselves every day. That's putting yourself on the altar and cleansing yourself and being ready for another day out into the world. The world's not an easy place to live in anymore. It's getting worse. You know, we can discover the truth of Yeshua. When we discover his truth, we will begin to develop a relationship with God's Son that can last for all eternity. You see, Moses, you know, his face began to shine. I think God's given us a glimpse of the glorified body that's yet to be seen, that it's coming. And they, unfortunately, they sinned, and that's why today we sin just like the ancestors of Adam and Eve. And so he had to cover himself up, Moses did. You see, and today we see that there's a tremendous importance of the Shabbat that God is emphasizing today. And we just talked about it, Vishamru Vene Yisrael. The children of Israel always observe the Shabbat. It's part of God's word for his people. You know, when God gave the fourth commandment, he said, Zakor, remember the Shabbat, remember it. But we see today God gave us a new word. He says Shamor, and that means to protect the Shabbat. Not only remember it, but protect it from anyone who would try to take it away, like they did, the Nazis did during World War II. They took the Jewish traditions, the things of the Torah away from the Jewish people, because a lot of them didn't get to stay in those concentrates very long. Some were only a day if they survived a day. So God says, Zakor, remember and protect the Shabbat. The wages of sin are death, and Yeshua is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Revelation 3:5 tells us, he overcomes, and I will confess his name. Just to sort of close this morning, you know, we talk a lot about the scriptures, but, you know, God says a witness of two, if two of you will agree, it will be done. So I was studying about the letters and everything in the alphabet. And, you know, when you study the Torah and the Torah scroll, you'll see that some of the letters are very enlarged to emphasize a certain point that God is making. And what's interesting, if you go through all five books of the Torah, you'll find there are 22 letters that are enlarged in the Torah. Some are smaller, some have little intonations on them and things, but there's the 22 letters of the alphabet are enlarged throughout the Torah. And there's 22 of them, and they're enlarged in different books throughout the Torah. Zephaniah 3:8, it said, it talks about returning to the pure Hebrew language. That's the only verse in the Bible that all 22 of the Hebrew letters appear in that verse that's in the book. So that's a witness of the two, that there's two. You know, just to close this morning, you know, the world has, you know, with the Ukraine and everything that's going on in the world, in the United States, we're trying to make another peace agreement, or however you want to call it, with Iran. That's definitely not something that God is going to bless, because Iran's total impact is destroy the people of Israel. You know, I think I was just thinking this week, you know, we've lost our spiritual guidance in America. Our values, for some reason, have all gotten reversed. I can remember when I was a little kid, it's a whole different world than it is today. You know, we didn't have a television, we didn't have a telephone, we certainly didn't have a computer. And, you know, things have changed. I know people at work laugh because I say I didn't have a computer. They think that's awful, but we didn't have a telephone. If you had to contact somebody, you had to write a letter. I mean, I remember writing a letter to a girl for a date, and you have to write them a letter. I didn't have a car, so you're stuck, you know. Do what? I'm sorry. We had water. That was one of the things, we had water. If you didn't mind drinking from a gourd, but I mean, that's something else. But, you know, we exploit the poor, and we call it a lottery. We're getting ready to explode here in Bristol with a lottery. We reward those who are lazy and don't want to work, and we call it welfare. That's what we've called it. We've neglected the discipline of our children, and we call it building self-esteem. That's what we're doing for our children. We abuse power, and we call it politics. We covet everything that we see, and we call it ambition. That's ambition, to covet things. We pollute the air with profanity, pornography, and all the things that are against God. But we call it freedom of expression. And we destroy unborn children, and we call it a choice, to be able to make a choice. So that's the Torah portion today. Shabbat Shalom.
is high. The Lord is in Kibar, the Tomb of Erushan, the Rahman, the Renoam, the Holy Devotee, Shalom. Shivenu Adonai, Eleh HaMenashuvah. Adesh, Adesh Yameinu, Adesh Yameinu
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return.
Renew our days as of old.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Anthony.
Praise the Lord. Give him praise in the sanctuary. Praise him with dancing. Praise him with song. Praise him with clapping. Praise him with your heart. Praise him every day long. Amen. He is worthy of praise, and I love to come into the house of the Lord. Don't you? Amen. It is awesome. He is here, and his blessing is here. And when we gather together, his anointing gathers, and it's like exponential, like a bomb that goes off in the spirit. Amen. And so that's why we come together. And that's why the enemy doesn't want us to come together. He wants you to stay at home and watch on video and make excuses not to be able to be together, because it says in the Bible we're supposed to gather together as a congregation. That's his command. He says don't observe the Shabbat by yourself. He says come together. It's a holy convocation. So that's what we're doing. And the enemy hates holy convocations. So he's fighting against us coming back together. Realize that and just press in and say, I'm not going to give in to that. I'm going to do it even more. I'm going to go against it. I'm going to fight against that thing that wants me to be mediocre in him. Amen. All right. So we're all being challenged in many different ways to do more for him and to bring our heart into his presence more. Every single one of us. Nobody's exempt. Amen. Nobody. Hallelujah. It's great to have everyone here. It seems like we're more here today. And I was going to pretend, but I went to put my offerings for the lunch in the kitchen. So I think things have been going on behind my back. But I am surprised. We're going to have an oneg. We're going to have a really good one today. So stay. And I brought a salad. You guys brought really, really nice things. I already saw some of them. So thank you ahead of time. And everybody who didn't come, you missed it, because we're going to have a party. And I am, as Rabbi said, leaving. I'm sad to be leaving for a while, but I'm not leaving forever. So I'll be back. So you guys just have to keep things going. It's kind of like, you know, you just have to pick up where I leave off. Amen. And I want to thank, first and foremost, you know, all the people who run the service, Carol, Anthony, and those who show up to make it happen. And I want you to pray for them. Pray for them as they continue to run these services. And let's pray for Carolyn, who's still not here. She's still recovering, and she's strengthening. She's doing better, but we do need to pray that she gets she gets strong enough to be able to come. And Diane is out delivering the mail in Mountain City on Saturdays. So we need to pray for her that she's able to get Saturdays off and so she can come back into the house. And it's great to see everyone else, especially Deborah. She's doing better. And Dave and Wanta, we've been praying for them to come back. And I want to also honor Ed and Kathy, Pastors Ed and Kathy. You all know them, and thank them for coming today. Just my heart. It's great to see you. It just makes my heart beam to have them here. So, hallelujah. And everyone else who's watching online, welcome, and invite your friends, and call us, reach out to us, let us know how we can pray for you, how we can minister to you, and let us know how our services are ministering as they are and how much we can minister more to you. We'd like to know. So just let us know by the phone or send us an email on the contact page at For Zion Sake Ministries. I want to announce, I think, when did we do this? It's been over a week now. The new newsletter, that newsletter went out. It's called The Image of the Beast, or Image of the Beast. I want to thank everyone who helped with it. It was awesome. You guys did a great job. And we sent it out on email. So if you got it from the email, you can scroll to the bottom of the page and share it with your friends. And then if they want to sign up, they can just go to the website and sign up for our monthly newsletters, whether you want it by mail or email, either way. But stay in touch with us. Let people know. This newsletter is awesome because it kind of gives you an understanding of what's going on politically and how that's fitting into, the end times. And it's interesting that the United Nations, I know Rabbi's already taught about this, and there's a picture. If you want to take one of these newsletters, there's a picture where they put up a statue in front of the United Nations that looks exactly like the beast that John describes in Revelation 13. And also Daniel talks about this. It's the same beast. There's a little bit of differences, but it's basically, Rabbi explains what the differences are in this newsletter between Daniel and Revelation. But how interesting, you know, it's coming to pass before our very eyes. And then we have a dictator who's rising up in Canada. So this spirit, this system of the beast is already in place, and it's exerting its power, trying to complete the mission. We know who wins in the end, though, right? Who is that? Yeshua. He wins. Say, Yeshua wins.
Yeshua wins.
Amen. And God has a plan for us. If He has a plan for us. Just like in Exodus, there was a plan for the children of Israel to escape the beast, of their age, which was Pharaoh, the anti-Messiah, and God has a plan. So would you like to know what God's plan is? Yes. Amen. And his plan involves us living and surviving and thriving. So if you know the story of Exodus, you know, you have a little bit of an idea. And I'll leave it there because Rabbi will talk more. And I don't want to preach here. I'm just here to give announcements. So just remember, Purim is coming March 16th to 18th. We're going to schedule the service there. So don't forget about it. Pencil it in. Know that we're going to have some sort of gathering. And it'll be fun. And remember that, whenever the name Haman... is pronounced, then we just tell the world how much we don't like him, right? Boo. And but the hero of Purim is Esther. And so we're going to talk about Esther. Please come. Then there's Passover, which I just talked about. Passover, you might want to refresh your mind about Passover, because you might want to understand how Passover links to what's happening today and in God's prophetic plan. So Passover's awesome. You want to make sure you don't miss Purim or Passover. Passover this year is April 15th through the 22nd. And I'm probably missing something. I also want to thank, as I was thinking, I want everyone to thank and to pray for Sharon, who's sitting in the back. I have spent hours of time with her in this week. She is recovered from COVID. Thank God. Hallelujah. And she has been down in the office with me, and we are training her to be interim, or we'll see where it goes. But right now she's learning everything in the office, and she's doing a great job. And so just pray for her. There's a lot to learn. There's a lot to take in. And I'm just so excited that God sent her here. And we also need to pray for the bookkeeper, Yvonne, who's not been feeling well. Please pray that she stays well. It's a little bit of a selfish prayer because she does our books, but also for her. We don't want her to be sick. Amen. Yvonne, please keep those key people in our ministry in your prayers as I am busy and distracted, and for 3 months, and then after that I'll be able to come and help and get things back in order. And most of all, pray for Rabbi. You know, lift his arms, come to service, ask what you can do. Maybe some people might bring him some meals here and there. Would probably be good. And so I'm going to miss you, baby. And we had our anniversary, by the way. 25 years. Hallelujah. Can you believe it? 25 years. All right. Thank God.
This past week. It's been a big week. Test 1, 2. All right. Well, she found the surprise. It's no longer a surprise. I tried my best to make it a surprise. She said, "Do you want scrambled eggs this morning?" I said, "No, I'll go to McDonald's." And I went to Food City to pick up the cake. And ice cream and some other things, and I went to McDonald's, but could not keep it a surprise. So I hope you'll stay. Please join us. We've got a lovely lunch planned and some cake, and we'll toast our Rebbetzin. And she is leaving us. She's going to the big leagues, but I just want to say, I guess I'm going to say this later, but I'll say it, you know, it's just another plane. You know how to fly a plane. It's just a bigger plane, right? And you may meet people who have a big attitude because they're in a big airline, but they're just people, right?
That's right.
And you just be yourself, and remember, you're just learning to fly a bigger plane, and you know how to do it. So you just do what you do, and don't be intimidated by the airline or the egos or the, you know, whatever. Amen?
Thank you.
And you will succeed. Amen. Hallelujah.
On that note, I thank you. And all the communication that they've been sending me, which is like a pipeline of just stuff to make sure I'm prepared. One of the things is that there's going to be a wings ceremony in a couple of weeks after my first 2 weeks. And I think it's like a Zoom link. I'll double check on that. So if it is possible, I will share that, and then Rabbi will share it with anybody who wants to watch. So.
And by the way, this has been an incredible week. She had a promise of a job until last week. This week, she got the job. So it was a promise, then it became a job. And so she is hired, and now she has to train. And it's just a question of 737, Airbus, 757, 767, 777, 787. What do you think she's going for? 787 is the Dreamliner. Hallelujah. And so anyway, I'm just so proud of you, and you're my hero. I'm amazed at what you've done. So.
Well, I couldn't do it without you, and I couldn't do it well without all of you. And you know, God's you know, he's refining us through this whole process.
Yeah.
And he's got more for us to do, but thank God he's bringing us through the fire. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, I'll take up the offering. Well, thank you. Let's give it up for the Rebbits. If anybody wants a copy of the newsletter, if you didn't get one, we actually have color copies out there. If anyone, Xavier, would you grab a few? Anybody like one? Raise your hand if you don't have a copy. Pastor Kathy would like one. Right, the newsletters are out there. They say in the back, the image of the beast. Yeah. Pastor's right here in the front. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Xavier. So, I want... Hallelujah. Okay, so let's pray. Pray for the offering. I just want to praise God that I believe everybody has come through COVID in the congregation. It's funny, still, that nobody, as far as I know, nobody's ever caught COVID from somebody in the congregation. They were all caught it somewhere else, and it's like everybody came down with it when I was on vacation. It's really weird, you know? And my in-laws were going to be here today, at least for lunch, but they were exposed to it Wednesday, and so we decided it was probably best that they not grace us with their presence today. But I also want to make that a point to mention that if you know you've been exposed, and it's been whether 3 days, 2 days, 4 days, 5 days, whatever, if you know you've been exposed, use good judgment and skip Shabbat. It's not worth... I mean, if you look at someone, God bless her, Carolyn's been out for a month now. She's really been struggling. And it's just not worth it to see, you know, our people we love get knocked out. And it's not worth it to see them struggle so much and suffer. So let us be thoughtful, considerate of others. Amen. And you know, if somebody's high risk, you know, you may not believe in masks or whatever, but if somebody's a high-risk person and you love them, wear a mask. You know, if you're going to be around them or if you're going to be, you know, right next to them, whatever, be conscientious of others, of their situation. Amen? and of their vulnerabilities. Just because you may be young and you may be strong and have a great immune system, but others may not. And we're seeing that. We've seen several people, and it's a miracle. Thank God for the ivermectin. And God has provided ivermectin. You know, people, my sister mocked me yesterday when I mentioned ivermectin. She's a big lefty up in Boston. And I said, she has a Japanese son-in-law. I said, you should look up Japan. They just, they did a study, a national study on ivermectin, and they approved it as a treatment for COVID. The country, the nation of Japan, approved ivermectin. And I said, you have a Japanese son-in-law. So you can have him check Japanese newspapers and find out, you know, about ivermectin, which you can't get in Boston. So therapeutics are hard to come by. So thank God for ivermectin. Thank God for monoclonal antibodies. Those are hard to come by too. And it seems like they don't want us to. They don't want us to have tools to overcome this. And then I read today, Bill Gates is predicting another pandemic. How does he know that? You know, he's predicting another one. He said this one's dying, but don't get too complacent. Another one's coming. So, he's like Dr. Frankenstein, that guy. He's creepy, I'll tell you, isn't he? Anyway, so let's move on from that. And today's message is going to be a really cool message. I was reading the Parsha yesterday, and it's a prophecy of the marriage covenant of Yeshua and how Israel broke the covenant and then how God renewed the covenant. And we're going to see the prophecy, and then we're going to look at how the prophecy was fulfilled or will be fulfilled in Scripture. But we'll talk about that today. And anyway, we're going to take up our tithes and offerings. And do you want Josh to film the worship today?
Sure,
it'd be great. Josh, why don't you film the worship, set up and film the worship as we if you'll get ready, you can film the worship, and then we'll do the message too, if you wouldn't mind. So let's pray for the offering. And hallelujah. Heavenly Father, just thank you for the opportunity to give back that which already belongs to you, and to give back a portion of what you've given us. And thank you, Lord, that King David said he's never seen the children of the righteous begging bread, Lord. He's never seen the children of the righteous begging bread, Father. And I thank you that I've never seen a righteous person begging bread. You've always provided for them, Lord, in this congregation. People who are godly and obey you, I've never seen them begging bread. And we just thank you, Lord, and thank you for this day. Thank you for Rebbetzin. And I'm going to miss her for 3 months. But I know it's going to go by. And Lord, bless this offering now. Bless the giver and bless the gifts 100-fold as we give today. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, may God bless you as you give. And please remember the needy, the poor people, and by giving alms. There's a basket there if you have spare change or want to put a few dollars in or something for the needy. There's more and more of them out there every day. So God bless you as you give in Yeshua's name. And folks online, you can give right there. You can donate through PayPal. Is that the only way? Can they give by credit card online or just PayPal?
No, they can give by credit card.
Oh, you can give by credit card too if you don't want to use PayPal.
And if you'd like to send in a check, the address should be there on the on the website as well.
Just make it out to Rabbi Joe's Golf Fund.
Shabbat. God bless you again. Hallelujah. I don't play golf.
Yes, you do.
I haven't played in 20 years.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boxes in the back. All right, I hope we have Xavier here. Who's our best shofar player in the house? All right, raise your hand if you're a shofar player. Oh, we got Miss Deborah. Yeah, she's awesome. Little tiny little Deborah. You can't believe how the shofar. So Deborah, you can grab a shofar if you want. And we're gonna you know, Joshua went around Jericho and he brought the walls down, right? So we're gonna bring the walls down. You ready, Rabbi? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came a tumbling down. Oh, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came a tumbling the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came a tumbling down. Oh, way up on the walls of Jericho, they marched with spear in hand. Now blow those trumpets, Joshua cried, 'cause the battle is in God's hand. Let's sing. Oh, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. All right, you got a shofar in your mouth. Everybody go, doo.
Battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down.
The walls came tumbling down. The walls came tumbling down.
Awake, O Israel. Put off thy slumber,
and the truth shall set you free.
For out of Zion comes thy deliverer
in the year of Jubilee.
Oh, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord! Oh, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah!
And the
truth shall set you free. Proud of Zion comes our deliverer in the year of Jubilee.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. For in the furnace of
great affliction
I have chosen thee, behold. And so for iron I'll give thee silver, and for brass I'll give thee gold. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thou art my chosen, for I have sought thee. Thou art graven on my hand, and I will gather all that are scattered. They will come back to their land. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord our God will not abandon us. No, he will never his people forsake. The Lord our God will not abandon us. No, he will never his covenant break. The Lord our God will not abandon us. No, he will never his people forsake. The Lord our God will not abandon us. No, he will never his covenant break. The Lord will save us. Our King will answer. The Lord will save us. Our King will answer. The Lord our Yitosh, kilo yitosh Hashem, kilo yitosh Hashem et Admo. Kilo yitosh, kilo yitosh Hashem, manach lahoya azo. Hashem Hoshia, Hamelech Yaneinu. Hashem Hoshia, Hamelech Yaneinu. Hamelech Yaneinu beyom koreinu. Yeshua. Yeshua.
Everybody sing.
Yeshua.
Reach out to him.
Yeshua.
Call out to him.
Yeshua. The Lord our God will not abandon us. No, he will never his people forsake. The Lord our God will not abandon us. No, he will never his covenant break. Lord will save us, our King will answer. The Lord will save us, our King will answer. The Lord our King will answer the day that we call him. Hashem Moshiach, Hamelech Yaneinu. Hashem Moshiach, Hamelech Yaneinu. Hamelech Yaneinu, Be'erum Akeinu. Yeshua. Yeshua, Yeshua. Put that last one in there. All right, is Joe on? He's not. I don't hear him at all. Something's wrong. I think. Is it the battery? Is it on the back? Mm-hmm.
We still need to fix this microphone, though.
Your heart is kind. For all of your goodness, I will keep on. dry. My faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers have been cold, and I know how I ought to be alive to you and dead to me.
You know, a week ago, I talked about the apostasy that the Bible predicts when the man of lawlessness appears. And if you read my newsletter, they've made an image of the beast at the United Nations. And they took it down on December 20th because Christians complained so much. They took down the image of the beast that they had made. But it's there. It's been made. And it means that the man of lawlessness is coming on the scene very soon. We're seeing, tyranny in Canada, a dictatorship arising. The people's rights have been taken away. Martial law is in Canada. People's bank accounts, if you participated in the blockades, they're going into your bank accounts and they're taking your money, your crypto, whatever they can get their hands on. It just proves. Gandhi, as my wife pointed out, was successful with peaceful overthrow, but most nations, when the people have no guns, like China and Hong Kong, or Russia, the Russian Revolution, Hitler, when the people's guns are taken away, they have no power. And that's what's happening in Canada. Canada has gone from a free country into a tyrannical country with martial law. And I think that the parliament are afraid to speak up against this Trudeau guy. And, that's coming here. It's right across the border. It's coming. We're watching. You better believe that our government is watching what they're doing up there, and don't think for a minute that they're not planning the same kind of stuff here. So, these are signs of the coming of the Lord. So, yeah, there's going to be tough times for a bit, but the Lord is coming. It says, before he comes, the man of lawlessness will come, and with him will come a great apostasy, falling away. And then Matthew 24 tells us people's hearts will grow cold, and many, many will fall away because their hearts will grow cold. And I challenged you last week, and I said the reason hearts grow cold is because last week when I talked about the 11th commandment to love one another, which is in Leviticus 17 originally, and it says, do not bear grudges, do not seek vengeance upon your enemies, and do not bear grudges, but love your neighbor as yourself. When we bear grudges and when we seek vengeance on people, then our hearts grow cold. And you can tell when somebody has a grudge when they're always talking about someone who hurt them a year, two, three, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago. When they're complaining about an ex-husband, a preacher, an ex-boss, somebody that did their parent, a sister or a brother, someone who did them wrong 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and they're still complaining today. They're holding a grudge. They're bitter. They've got a root of bitterness in their heart, and you need to repent. So I gave you an assignment last week. I said, I want you to think about people that you might be holding a grudge against, because God will bring them to mind over time. So I gave you a week to think about it. And if you want to come forward, we're going to do Cares Course. So we're going to do a song called Cares Course about casting our cares upon the Lord. If you want to come up and repent at the altar during this song, you're welcome to, if you have someone that you need to go to. Now, I told you, you can go to people that are will receive you. Some people won't receive your gesture. If you want to go to them and try to make peace, you know they won't receive your gesture. So then Dave said, go to Yeshua. If the person won't receive your reaching out to them, then go to Yeshua, because you'll just stir up a hornet's nest. But if you need to go to Yeshua, if you have vengeance in your heart, if you have bitterness towards a parent, towards a spouse, towards a boss, towards anybody that you need to let go of, this is really critical that you ask God to forgive and confess it. So I'm going to open the altar, and if I'll ask pastors to come forward and pray, if anybody comes, if you would do that for me, if anybody comes up to the altar. And we're going to sing Cares Chorus at this time. And I'm going to be doing this for the next couple weeks, because I think we need, God will bring people to mind that we have ought against. And it just pops into our head. Rabbi said that, and I didn't realize I had something against this person, or I've been holding a grudge, or, wishing this person dead or whatever, for 10 years. You need to let go of that, guys, or your love will grow cold. So let's do Cares Course. Hallelujah. The altar is open if you'd like to come forward, and pastors will pray for you if you need it. Hallelujah.
All of my burdens down at your feet, and any time that I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you.
Is open.
I cast all my cares upon you.
Don't be afraid to come. Just grab your neighbor by the hand. Bring them with you.
I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. And anytime I don't know
yes, I cast all my cares.
all of my burdens down at your feet. And anytime I don't know what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you.
I will cast all my cares upon you.
Adonai, Elohim, Adonai, Elohim.
Shulchan Adonai, to the Lord's table. If you're watching at home or online or on Facebook, if you'd like to join us, Christians call it communion. We call it the table of the Lord, Shulchan Adonai. If you have some fruit of the vine, some grape juice, your choice, and some matzah or crackers or something that you'd like to join us, please get yourself ready. And I'm going to make my way over here to the middle, maybe. And we're going to go to the table of the Lord. Okay. Thank you. All right, on the night he was betrayed, Yeshua was at a Passover meal, and he took the third cup. We Jews call it the cup of redemption, and he blessed it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. And Yeshua took the afikomen, which is traditionally taken together with this third cup. Luke 22 tells us the cup taken after the meal. And even to this day, Jews take the third cup after the meal. As soon as they come back from eating the meal and clearing the table, and the Passover resumes, the host goes to the third cup, and it's poured, and everybody takes it up, and they consume the third cup of wine, the cup of redemption. And somebody has swiped the afikomen, and they bring it back. He pays, and today talked about the today's parsha. Anthony was talking about the parsha today is the temple tax for the atonement for your souls, a half shekel. I don't know if he mentioned that in his teaching, but it's in the parsha for today, is the half shekel for the redemption of your souls. I guess during the weekly worship. So it's interesting, to get the afikomen back, you have to pay for it. The host has to pay a child to bring it back to him. He has to redeem it. So there's a redemption price for the afikomen, and which basically tells us that salvation is a free gift, but it's not free. There's a cost. Our Lord paid a great cost for our freedom, for our salvation. Our freedom isn't free. And we see that our soldiers who've gone and fought and died and lost their limbs and broken their bodies for us, for our freedom, is an example that freedom isn't free. And I hear it a lot, saying that we're born free. We're not born free. We're blessed to be born in a free country, but not everybody is born free. So it's a strange thing. I keep hearing them say that. But anyway, I'm going to bless the bread. And Yeshua, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And Yeshua said something that had never been said at a Passover meal before. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin. We're going to see the new covenant in Exodus today. We're going to see it as I talk about it in the book of Exodus today. And we're going to see, of course, his body. He said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And of course, it was broken in pieces. His body was broken, not so much in pieces, but he was beaten and scourged and crucified, and his you know, his life was broken. And he died for us. He was buried 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the dead on the third day. So we invite all believers in Yeshua to join us in taking the cup and the bread together in remembrance of the body and the blood of the Passover Lamb. My Passover Lamb is Yeshua, Jesus. Amen. L'chaim b'Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Could somebody turn off the bass amp if it hasn't been turned off, please? Maybe it has, I don't know. I'm hearing a buzz. Well, it's good to see everybody. We've had so many people out with COVID and just out, I don't know, just not around, but it's good to see a bunch of people here, and I suppose many came to worship, but also to honor our Rebbetzin, who's going to the big leagues this next week. She's going up to one of the three biggest airlines in the country, and she's going to fly jumbo jets, and So her aunt is off preaching in Ohio today, and she couldn't be here. And she's preaching on a message called "It's Never Too Late to Dream." And I told her, Dawn's going to fly the big jets. She's got promoted. You know, she got a new job with the big airline. She said, "Wow." She said, "Can I use that as an example?" And I said, "Yeah, go ahead, be my guest." But I think Dawn has a ministry, you know, and I've encouraged her when she's not flying we need to promote her, you know, come up with some sort of way of letting people know that she's available to speak. Because I think she has a message for people, you know, that you can, it's never too late. You know, it ain't over till it's over, right? It's as long as you can do it, it's not too late to dream. Amen? It's never too late to dream. As long as you have breath and you can make it happen, she's doing it. And it's really amazing. I mean, you know, I'm not going to say how old she is. She'll kill me. She'll have my, well, I'm just not going to say it. But anyway, thank you. I have overcome. Hallelujah. Welcome back, Carolyn. Good to see you back. All right, let's pray for the word of the Lord. We're going to talk about the new covenant in the book of Exodus. We're going to talk about God's new covenant with Israel and his old covenant and his new covenant, all prophesied in the book of Exodus. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message today. Just anoint me and just give me your word today in the name of Yeshua. And anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see. And let your word go forth. It does not return void. And bind the enemy, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, we just give you praise and glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right, please turn to Exodus 31, if you would. So many of you have seen my I call it my television ring. Remember my gold ring? I outgrew it. It got too small for my finger. So I took it to the jeweler yesterday or the day before. I took it to the jeweler to have them resize it, make it bigger. I've gone from a size 10 to a size 11, anyway, so I don't have it with me. But Exodus 31 is part of today's parsha. So let's begin there in Exodus 31 verse 12. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." Now, I've told you before, that word sign is oat, and it means a token, like a ring, like an engagement ring, a promise. And so the word sign is God's token. It's his promise. So God is betrothed to Israel, and this is the Sabbath is his promise that he's coming back for his bride. That's what the oat means, is that it's a promise that he's coming back to make his betrothed his bride. So the Sabbath is the sign of the wedding. So let's read on. And verse 14, "Therefore you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you." Holy means belonging to God. It's sacred to God. "Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death, for whoever does any work on that day, that person shall be cut off from among his people." Now, of course, we know that in the New Covenant, you don't die if you don't keep the Sabbath. You just don't get the blessing of the Sabbath either. You don't get the blessing, but you don't get cut off. You don't get killed. And for 6 days, work may be done, but on the seventh day, there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. He says it twice. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. Here we are, thousands of years later. We are, let's see, about 3,400 years after Moses, after this was written. Here we are celebrating it. It is a sign, he says it twice. It's a token. It's like an engagement ring. It's an oat in Hebrew. It's a token. It's a ring between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed. When he had finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written by the finger of God. Now, it's interesting that as God talks about the sign of the Sabbath, and I spoke about it in my newsletter, Who is the Bride of Messiah? I talked about the sign that the Sabbath is a sign of his bride, that if people who have the revelation of the bride would keep the Sabbath and come, and as a testimony. So when, for example, when they're having a parade down State Street, but your people are in here keeping the Sabbath, you're a testimony and a witness to the community that you're the bride and they're out there ignoring the word of the Lord. And the Lord says to do this, and I explain it in these newsletters, which I'll give copies if anybody doesn't have it, Who is the Bride of Messiah and Who is the Bride of Messiah Part 2. If you don't have a copy, if you haven't read it, contact me. I'll send it to you. Just contact our ministry. Sign up for our newsletter at the website, and I will be glad to just say you'd like copies of this, and I'll send them to you. Who is the Bride of Messiah? And Part 1 and Part 2. Anyway, let's go on. So the neat thing about this is right after he talks about the sign of the Sabbath, and I've done extensive teaching about it being that the those who keep the Sabbath, doesn't matter if you're Jewish or non-Jewish, what matters is if you do it together with the Jewish people, sojourners. And it's that sign of the Sabbath. But then he goes into the new the covenant. He goes into the marriage covenant. So let's see, this is amazing how he goes right from the Sabbath, the sign of the marriage, he goes into chapter 32. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down the mountain, from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us a God who will go before us, for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Aaron said to them, "Tear off the gold rings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me." Then all the people tore off the gold rings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a molten calf. And they said, "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." Now when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before the Lord, before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." So the next day they rose early and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. They were having a good time, weren't they? Amen? They thought they were worshiping God. They were doing it their own way, weren't they? They had thought, we're worshiping God our way. How many people are out there worshiping God their way? And they're happy. These guys were partying. They were dancing. They were celebrating. But they were doing it their way, not God's way. And the Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man whose end is death. There's a way that seems right to a man whose end is death. So many people are out there worshiping God their own way. And God has a very prescribed way to worship him. So let's read on here. So then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go down at once," verse 7, "go down at once, for your people whom you brought up from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt.'" You see, they were still, in their minds, they were stuck in Egypt. They had to see. The Egyptians worshipped, one of their gods was the cow. And so the people, the Israelites, 400 years in Egypt as slaves, they adopted the ways of the Egyptians. They were used to worshiping cows, you know, among other things. And so Aaron fashioned a golden calf, and they felt right at home worshiping the golden calf, you see? And so that's why, you know, so they felt right at home. It says they quickly turned aside, verse 8, from the way which I commanded them. They have, in just a few days, in just one day, overnight, Aaron fashioned this golden calf, and boom, the people started worshiping it, and, you know, they turned away from God that quickly. That's how quickly people can fall away from God. It's amazing. That quickly. Praise the Lord. They worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, "This is your God, O Israel, and who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, they are an obstinate people. Now then, let me alone, that my anger may burn against them, that I may destroy them, and I will make of you a great nation." And then Moses entreated the Lord, and Moses was so forgiving. Instead of getting angry along with God, Moses was always interceding for the people. He had such compassion for the people. That's why God loved Moses so much, because he had such a heart to forgive people. So verse 11 says, then Moses entreated God, his God, and said, O Lord, why does your anger burn against your people, whom you have brought out from the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak, saying, with evil intent he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to destroy them from the face of the earth? Turn from your burning anger and change your mind about doing harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by yourself and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens. And all this land of which I have spoken, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord changed his mind about the harm which he said he would do his people. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand. Now, Moses is pretty cool right until this point, okay? He's very forgiving. He's compassionate. He's not angry. Wait to see what happens here, okay? Gets the excitement. You know, this could be, I guess Charlton Heston probably did this. I can't remember the movie, but in the Ten Commandments. But he must have done a good job with what happens next here. So Moses went down with the two tablets of the testimony in hand. Tablets were written on both sides, on one side and the other. The tablets were God's work, and the writing was God's writing engraved on the tablets by his own finger. Now when Joshua heard the sound of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there's a sound of war in the camp. But he said, it's not the sound of a cry of triumph, nor is it the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear. Verse 19, it came about as soon as Moses came near the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger burned, and he threw the tablets from his hand and shattered them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf which they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it over the surface. So all of a sudden, Moses, who's making intercession. Now, here's the good news. When you pray, sometimes I've had people ask me, not friends, okay, people have stabbed me in the back, come to me and ask me to pray for them. And I'll pray for them for healing, and they'll get healed. I'll pray for them for whatever, then they'll stab me in the back again right after I pray for them. Does God undo the prayer that I prayed for them? No. They get what I prayed for. Amen? And that's so the people, even though Moses got angry, he had already made intercession for God to not destroy the people. And so he may have regretted that he did that. You notice something. Remember when Jacob wanted to bless Esau, but Isaac stole the blessing? You remember that? When when Isaac was old and Jacob stole the blessing from his brother, and Esau came in later with a meal that he had prepared. He went out hunting and he said, bless me, father, bless me. And his father didn't have a blessing for him. In those days, if you gave your blessing, you couldn't give another. You see what I'm saying? Your word was your word. And your blessing was your blessing. So Moses made intercession, and God heard it. And he didn't destroy the people. Then Moses came down, saw the golden calf, saw the partying. Then he gets angry, and he smashes the tablets, which we see here. Moses' anger burned, verse 19, and he threw the tablets from his hand and shattered them at the foot of the mountain. So he took the calf which they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it over the surface. I'll bet he regretted that he didn't say to God, destroy them from the face of the earth. But he had already made intercession for him, so it was too late. God knew exactly what he was doing. He made the people drink it. So they had to drink powdered gold in the water. Then Moses said to Aaron, I wonder what that does to you. It's probably good for you. I don't know. I have to try it sometime. Then Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought such great sin upon them? And Aaron was a coward. He said, Do not let the anger of my Lord burn. You know the people yourself, they are prone to evil. Not like Aaron did any, had any part in it, right? For they said to me, make us a God for who will go before us, for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them tear it off. So they gave it to me, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. Amazing. Another trick I'm going to have to try sometime. Let's all bring me some gold one day. We'll start a fire. I'll toss the gold into the fire, and we'll see if a golden calf comes out, okay? So next week, I have an assignment for you. We've got a big stack of wood out there. We'll light a fire. We'll throw the gold in after the service. We'll see what happens, okay? All right, just kidding. Okay, big joke. All right, so anyway, Aaron lied to Moses, and he was afraid to tell Moses that he had made the calf. And I wonder if Moses believed him. Out came this calf. Oh, my goodness. The fire gave birth to a calf. Verse 25, now when Moses saw that the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them get out of control. So Aaron, obviously, even though he was the high priest, he really needed Moses. And this brings up a good point. Not every Jew is the same. People, and I notice it a lot in these parts, if they can get a hold of a Jew, they're like, I got me a Jew. You know, I got me a Jew. We got a Jew in our congregation. You know, it's like, we got Moses. Not every Jew is Moses. Okay? Not every Jew is Isaiah. Not every Jew is Samuel or Jeremiah. Not every Jew is John. Or the Revelator, or not every Jew is Paul. You know, there's the Jews who worship the golden calves. There's Jews in the current administration. You know, there's a lot of them. There's one right now that they're trying to the Biden's trying to put her on the Federal Reserve Board. What's her name? The Republicans won't vote for. Anybody remember her name? I don't know. She's Jewish, and she's so liberal. She wants to, you know, print more money, print billions of dollars. Let's just make inflation, you know. Let's make hyperinflation like Weimar Germany. Why not? Let's destroy the dollar. Let's destroy petroleum. Let's destroy the economy, and let's destroy the American people. And she's Jewish. And a lot of the people in the government are Jewish. That does not mean they're godly. Just because a person is a Jew, Christian friends watching and those in this room, does not mean they're godly people or knowledgeable of God. Does not mean that we have knowledge of God or a relationship with God. In fact, my Jewish people, including my family, are some of the most lost people on the planet. When a Jewish person, Barbara Streisand is a great example. She would make one heck of an evangelist. I mean, she has a mouth. Now, when she uses it for singing, it's lovely. When she uses it for criticizing people on the right, it's ugly. Foul things come out of her mouth. Like frogs from Egypt, okay? She would make a great evangelist, you know? But instead, she uses that voice for evil, okay? And there's millions of our people that, you know, you say, well, gee, wouldn't it be great if Steven Spielberg was a believer? Yeah, it would. He could make some great movies to help the Messianic community. But he's not a believer. Because, you know, God doesn't look at the rich and famous. Sometimes he does, like Stephen Baldwin, Alec Baldwin's brother, you know, got saved, and he's been witnessing to everybody, and his brothers think he's an idiot, you know, and he's not nearly as rich as his brothers, but his daughter married Justin Bieber, and he's done pretty well for himself because Justin Bieber's worth like a half a billion dollars. But
You know, so it's nice to, I guess it's good, if you can't have Alec Baldwin's money, to have Justin Bieber as your son-in-law. It's a good second. So anyway, Stephen Baldwin's a good, he's a man of God, he's a Christian. And he's been on TV witnessing about the Lord, always giving glory to God. Amen? Amen. All right. So let's go on here. So Moses breaks the tablets. That's the old covenant. Everybody say the old covenant. Okay. So it was God's marriage covenant. It was this covenant. We're going to see that the covenant, well, we'll go on and I'll show you. I'm going to prove to you that the covenant they broke was his marriage covenant with them. And in Deuteronomy 7, if you hold your place in Exodus and turn to Deuteronomy 7, God showed me this in the shower today. I've always wondered, Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. He's talking to Moses and the sons of Israel. Your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, the Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you are more in number than any of the other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. He repays those who hate him to their faces to destroy them. He will not delay with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore you are to keep the commandment and the statutes and the judgments which I am commanding you today to do them. Okay, let's stop there. Let's look at the language here. So in verse 7 or verse 6, it says, he has chosen you to be a people for his own possession. So if you understand the Jewish wedding, you know, and I've taught you this, again, it's all in these newsletters, and I'll be glad to give anybody copies of them if you don't have one, who is the bride of Messiah. In the Jewish wedding, the ancient Jewish wedding, and in many societies, the father of the bride chose the husband for his daughter, right? He chose a bridegroom, right? And so God chose. I struggled with this. God, what does it mean that you chose Israel? Well, he chose Israel to bring the Messiah through the, you know, into the world. He chose Israel to be the custodians of the word, to be the keepers of the oracles. Amen. He chose us to be the keepers of the oracles of God. He chose us to be the patriarchs. He chose our Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He chose many Jews to be the prophets of the Old Testament. Jonah, Isaiah, Elijah, and so forth. He chose the apostles. They were all Jews. Every single one of the apostles was Jewish. Matthew, Mark, even Luke. Some say he was a half Jewish. Look it up. They now say he was Jewish. Whatever. They were all Jews. And some were half Jewish, whatever. But, you know, Timothy, his mother or his father was Jewish. His mother was not Jewish. And Paul had him circumcised so that if the Jews questioned him, they would know he was Jewish. Anyway, he wasn't one of the apostles, but of the 12, they were all Jews. So, but I was, God, why did you choose us? I chose you to be a bride for my son. That's what the Father did in the time of Yeshua, in the days of Moses. The Father would choose the bride. Who chose a bride? Did Abraham send his servant? Did he not send his servant off to Babylonia, to his family, to Laban, to find a bride, to choose a bride? And to have, he gave him all his authority. Abraham gave his servant, since he couldn't make the trip, he was an old man, I give you my authority. You pick the bride. God will show you who it is. And he chose the bride, Rebekah, and he brought her back for Isaac. And that's a perfect example of God choosing the bride for his son. In fact, Isaac is the son of child of promise. It's so much like the, it's a prophecy of the Messiah, that Abraham was like the father, and you know, he, so in the ancient Jewish wedding, the father would choose the bride for his son. Praise God. All right, so why did, when we see God choosing Israel, choosing the Jewish people, he's choosing them to be his bride. How can I prove this to you more? Turn to Hosea. Chapter 2, verse 19. Hosea chapter 2, verse 19. God says, I will betroth you to me forever. Now, I do need to distinguish who's talking here. So I have taught, and this, you know, pastors may need to chew on this one, but okay, so Yeshua is the Word of God. So he is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, right, and dwelt among us. So Yeshua is the Word of God, right? Yes. So what is this book I've got here? This book is what? It's the Word of God. So he became flesh. He also became a book. He is the Word of God. So he's not speaking his own words. John 14 tells us in several places he only speaks what his Father tells him to speak, right? But it's him speaking. So let's see here in Hosea chapter 2, I will betroth you to me. So if Yeshua is speaking, because God the Father didn't have a, he didn't get, see, a lot of people, and I've heard this taught, not a lot, but I've heard it taught in churches that God marries Israel and that Jesus marries the church. That is false. That's wrong teaching. God the Father does not, there's no wedding. There's no marriage supper of the Father. Remember it says in Revelation 19:7, behold, the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride hath made herself ready. We don't read anything about a marriage supper of the Father, right? So, we have to, who is speaking here? Yeshua is the Word. He's speaking, and God is giving him the words to say, the Father. So let's see what he says in Hosea. I will betroth you to me, Yeshua says, forever. He's talking to Israel. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and in compassion. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord. Hosea 2, 19 through 20. To know the Lord is to know Yeshua, to know Jesus, who was the one speaking tenderly to Israel in these passages. So, Yeshua, it's the only verse where in the Bible, in the Old Testament, where Yeshua says, I've chosen you, Israel. Well, it's not the only verse where God's chosen Israel, but I'm betrothing you to me as a bride. We're engaged. He's not saying we're not married yet. We're betrothed. Okay, so this is the covenant of betrothal here, and I said the Sabbath is a sign of the covenant, right? Going back to Exodus. Let's go back to Exodus now. Exodus 32. So Moses comes down with the covenant, with the terms of the covenant. Okay? It's good to be a lawyer. When you to understand the Bible, you must understand law. Now, I thank God he gave me 2 years of law school, because it gave me enough to understand law, because it's contractual. Marriage is contractual. When you enter into a marriage, okay, so what is a contract? A contract is, let's say I have a car and I want to sell my Dodge to Tom, okay? I want to sell my Dodge truck to Tom. So we sign a contract, but Tom says, Joe, I don't have the money, but I want that car. And so as a promise that I'm serious about buying your Dodge, I'm going to give you $500 down. And here's, we're going to write a little contract. I, Tom, promise to pay Joe such and such, and I'm giving $500 as a deposit in good faith that I will fulfill my end of the bargain and pay the price. Amen? A contract without something, without money down, it's called earnest money. You buy a house, it's earnest money. Without a deposit. A contract without a deposit is not a contract. Amen? It's just a piece of paper. You have to put something down. There has to be, in law, in contracts, there has to be an exchange. A value, something of value, has to be given by both parties in order for a contract to be valid. All right? So when you put money down, when you go to buy a boat or to buy a camper or to buy a house, you got to put some money down to hold that contract. You have 5 days to get your financing, 10 days, whatever, 2 weeks. To acquire, whatever time period they give you, right? And then the contract's void and they give you your money back if you don't do it. Amen? Or if you were messing around, they may keep your money. If you were playing them and you weren't serious and they can prove it, they may not give you your money, and then you have to go to court. All right. So we see here the first covenant is broken. Moses smashes the tablets. The children of Israel were committing idolatry, spiritual idolatry at God, and Moses was angry, and he was so angry that he said this in Exodus 32, Exodus 32, verse 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered together to him. He said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, every man of you put his sword upon his thigh and go back and forth from gate to gate in the camp and kill every man his brother, and every man his friend, and every man his neighbor." So the sons of Levi did as Moses instructed, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Then Moses said, "Dedicate yourselves today to the Lord, for every man has been against his son and against his brother, in order that he may bestow a blessing upon you today." It came about on the next day that Moses said to the people, "You yourselves have committed a great sin, and now I am going up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." Then Moses returned to the Lord, and alas, this people has committed a great sin, and they have made a god of gold for themselves. But now, if you will forgive their sin, and if not, please blot me out from your book," Moses said, "which you have written." The Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book, the book of life. But go now, lead the people where I told you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I punish, I will punish them for their sin." Then the Lord smote the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron had made. Here's a very important part: repentance. This is what we were talking about with the apostasy last week, with hearts growing cold, with grudges, with vengeance. repentance is so important. So chapter 33, we'll look at just briefly. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought up from the land of Egypt and the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, saying to your descendants, I will give it. I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go in your midst, because you are an obstinate people, and I might destroy you on the way." When the people heard this sad word, they went into mourning, and none of them put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, "Say to the sons of Israel, you are an obstinate people. Should I go up in your midst for one moment, I would destroy you. Now therefore put off your ornaments for you, that I may know that what I will do with you." So the sons of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments from Mount Horeb onward. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch outside the camp a good distance from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And it goes on, and basically the people repented. The people repented to God. And in verse 12 it says, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I may know you, that I may find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people.' And he said, 'My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest.'" And so anyway, God sent Moses back up the mountain, and he sent him back up the mountain. Here's the new covenant, or you might call it the renewed covenant. We're looking at, this is Exodus, and we're going to see the new covenant in shadow, in picture, in prophecy. So let's see, chapter 34. "Now the Lord said to Moses, 'Cut out for yourself two stone tablets like the former ones, and I will write on the tablets the words that were on the former tablets which you shattered. So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain. No man is to come up with you, nor let any man be seen anywhere on the mountain. Even the flocks and the herds may not graze in front of that mountain.' So he cut out two stone tablets like the former ones. Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to the Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and he took two stone tablets in his hand. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, the compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in his loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity and transgression and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations.' Moses made haste to bow down toward the earth and worship." And so Moses made intercession for the people. God renewed the covenant. He rewrote the commandments. And Moses came down with the tablets a second time. And God warned him in verse 12, "Watch yourself that you make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, into which you are going, or it will become a snare in your midst. But rather you are to tear down their altars and smash their sacred pillars and cut down their Asherim, for you shall not worship any other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Otherwise you might make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they would play the harlot with their gods and sacrifice." And that's what they did. The children of Israel played the harlot. We're going to see that in a minute in Hosea. But God renewed the covenant, and he brought the tablets down the mountain. And he talks again about the Sabbath. But so I have shown you here, God gives he talks about the Sabbath, the sign of his betrothal to Israel. "I've chosen you, you know, I love you, you're mine, you belong to me. These are words that a bride, a man speaks to his bride. You belong, you belong to me, you know, you're mine, you know, you're my girl, amen. You know, you're my good thing, you know. That's what the Bible says. A man who has found a wife has found a good thing. Amen. Dawn's my good thing. Hallelujah. And so, you know, he speaks lovingly. I've chosen you. You know, I didn't choose Dawn. The Father did. I turned around. She was standing behind me in a Messianic synagogue 26 years ago. 10 months later, we were married on the 15th of February, 1997. I had no idea she was coming that day to visit, and I just saw her, and I knew immediately that she was going to be my wife. It took her a month or two to figure it out. She wasn't quite as, and on our first date, I told her she was pretty, and she said, "Why am I?" I said, "You're." I said, "I like you." That's what I said. "I like you." And she said, "Why do you like me?" And I said, "Well, I had to think about it for a second. I liked her. I don't know." And I said, "Well, you have pretty hair." And she said, "A lot of girls have pretty hair." And she said, "You better go home and think about why you like me." So I went home and I started doing my homework. And the other day I told her I liked her. And she said, "I guess you don't have to do any homework." Now, 25 years of marriage, I'm off the hook. So, praise the Lord. All right, so do you see here, we see a picture of the old covenant, the first covenant. The children of Israel break the covenant, and then God renews the covenant. Okay, so now let's go ahead to Jeremiah 31, please. I just have a couple more verses and we're done. Jeremiah 31. Verse 31. "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant." In other words, with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. "Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, the golden calf. Although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord." See that language? "I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with them in those days, with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my Torah, my law, within them. I will write it on their heart, and I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They shall not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." So he promises a new covenant, right? So they broke the first one. Why? Idolatry. They chased after other gods. The golden calf was one. That was just one example. That picture we just looked at of breaking the tablet, that's just an example. It's a picture. Israel, God made a marriage covenant with them, a betrothal. They broke the covenant. By the way, a betrothal is contractual. There is shedding of blood. There is a sacrifice involved with a in ancient Israel. A betrothal was valid like a marriage without consummation. In other words, you were considered married, you just hadn't consummated it. Now, in a modern Jewish wedding, the betrothal ceremony and the wedding take place at the same time. In other words, you start with the betrothal and then you move on to the wedding. It's all in one ceremony. But in those days, you waited a year at least between the betrothal and the marriage. Okay. So, but we don't do that anymore. It's all done in one ceremony. Okay, so God made promises through Jeremiah, a new covenant with Israel. Now let's look at Hosea for a second. Hosea chapter 2. And it's interesting because we just read that. Verse 19. Hosea 2:19. I will betroth you to me forever. How long?
Forever.
Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and compassion. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord. It will come about in that day that I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the heavens, and they will respond to the earth. And the earth will respond to the grain and the new wine and to the oil. And they will respond to Jezreel. I will sow her for myself in the land. I will also have compassion on her who had not obtained compassion. And I will say to those who were not my people. He's talking about bringing the Gentiles into his covenant with Israel. He's talking about bringing the Gentiles, we later find out in Romans, into his covenant with Israel. Not all the Gentiles, not all the Jews are part of the covenant, and not all the Gentiles either, but some. And so, again, read this article, explains who is and who isn't. I will sow for myself in the land. I will have compassion on her who had not obtained compassion. I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. Now, read here. Then in verse chapter 3, it says, then the Lord said to me, go again and love a woman who is loved by her husband. He's telling the prophet Hosea, yet an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the sons of Israel, though they turn to other gods. You see the idolatry? And love raisin cakes. So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a half of barley. Then I said to her, you shall stay with me for many days. You shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So I will also be toward you. For the sons of Israel will remain for many days without a king or a prince, without a sacrifice or a sacred pillar, and without, or in other words, an altar, and without an ephod, or priest, or household idols. And afterward, the sons of Israel will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and they will come trembling to the Lord and to his goodness in the last days. In the last days. What's happening here? So Hosea, the prophet, he's married. He marries a prostitute. Okay? He's married to a prostitute. First covenant. She breaks the covenant. She's an adulteress. He could kill her. He could stone her. He could put her away like Joseph could have put Mary away, but he doesn't. God says, go and buy her back. So he goes to her pimp and pays 15 shekels and a homer and a half of barley. Yeah, a homer and a half, verse 2. I bought her for myself. So he makes a contract. He makes another contract, another covenant. He renews the covenant. He buys her, pays for her. And he says to her, here's the terms of the contract. Then I said to her, you shall stay with me for many days. You shall not play the harlot anymore. You won't be a prostitute. Nor shall you have a man other than me. So I will be toward you faithful. For the sons of Israel will remain for many days without a king or a prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or household idols. But afterward, the sons of Israel will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and they will come trembling to the Lord and to his goodness in the last days. So God's saying to Israel, I married you, I betrothed myself to you, you broke my covenant, but I didn't break my covenant with you. I didn't forsake you. Romans 11 says, has God abandoned his people? God forbid. Romans 11, 1. Has God forsaken Israel? God forbid, Paul says. For I too am an Israelite, he goes on to say in Romans 11. God has not rejected his people. It says it right there in Romans 11:1. Has God rejected his people? God forbid. No, he hasn't. We rejected him. So God comes back to us, pays a price. What's the price? Turn to Luke 22. So Hosea pays a price and gets his bride back, and the payment is the earnest money of the contract, and then the terms of the contract, and he's married again. Okay? Luke 22. Now, verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. The chief priests and the scribes were seeking how they might put him to death, for they were afraid of the people. And Satan entered into Judas, who was called Iscariot, belonging to the number of the 12. And he went away in disgust with the chief priests. By the way, we've talked about Satan and how, just want to make a little aside here, I believe there's going to be war between Russia is going to invade Ukraine. And remember I said, I've been teaching on the beast, the image of the beast. That's the newsletter that we just talked about today. The image of the beast, right? Amen? Anybody hear that teaching, right? Okay. And what did I say in Revelation 13? It says the dragon gives the beast his authority, his power. The dragon gives his authority, his power to the beast. Russia is the bear, the beast. So the image of the beast, this is a little aside, this is a picture of the actual beast that they made. You can look this up. The UN called it the guardian of international peace and security. You can look that up. And they made an image of the beast at the United Nations. And it has the feet of the bear, has the body of the leopard, and the face of the lion. Remember, we said the lion represents England, the body, the leopard, represents Iran, and the feet of the bear represent Russia. And the dragon gives its power. China is represented by the dragon. Who did Putin go to see last week before he decided, as he's preparing to invade Ukraine, who did he go and pay homage to? China. You think he went to see the Olympics? No. He went to get the blessing. Do you think China needs Russia? No. China, the only thing China needs Russia for is natural gas and oil. That's about the only thing that China needs Russia for. They don't need Russia for anything else. Russia is just a smaller nation. China is the superpower. Russia is not. Okay? They do have nuclear weapons, but China does not need Russia. They want their oil, they want their energy. So what did Putin do? He got Russia's blessing. He got China's blessing. China gave power to Russia to invade Ukraine. He gave power to the beast to take over. I believe that, and our president said it last night, it's going to happen. They're going to invade. I believe. Now, I have military, former military friends who are officers who have been. On one day, they're telling me there's going to be an invasion. The next day, they're saying there's not going to be an invasion. I think there's going to be an invasion because the dragon has given his blessing. China has given its blessing for Russia to take Ukraine. What's in it for Putin if he doesn't take Ukraine? If he doesn't do it, well, he has the Nord Stream pipeline. He sells gas to Europe. He sells gas to Europe. He gains influence in Europe. The more gas they buy from him, the more power he has. If they can't pay him, then he has control over them. Amen? You know, or certain countries, if they can't pay for the gas they're using, then he gains more and more control over them. But here's the thing. If he invades, then he stops sending gas to Europe, and Europe's in trouble in a deep freeze. So where does the gas go? Up north to Siberia to China. China gets the gas, which is what they want. China gets the gas. So who's in, it's in China's interest for Russia to invade Ukraine. The other thing Putin wants to do is break up NATO. So if he can ally with Germany and other European countries, if Putin can make alliances, which he has made an alliance with Germany of some sort, then he can break up NATO. That's his goal. But here's the third thing. He's a megalomaniac with a huge ego. And there's just something about megalomaniacs with huge egos when they have the opportunity to invade a Czechoslovakia or a Japan or a Pearl Harbor. They just can't stop. So he's probably going to do it. I think he's going to do it. Because his ego, he's getting old, and he wants to do something. He wants to make his mark. And this is how he's going to make his mark. He's going to expand. He's going to rebuild the empire. His goal, his overarching goal, is to rebuild Mother Russia, the Soviet Union. That's his overarching goal, is to bring back the Soviet Union. That's what I think. That's just my opinion. Okay, let's go back to the New Covenant. So in Luke 22, so look in verse 7. Then came the first day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So it's Passover. And Yeshua sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." And they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" And he said to them, "When you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house that he enters, and you shall say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large furnished upper room. Prepare it there." And they left and found everything just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him, and he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Hallelujah. "For I say to you, I shall never eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." So it's not finished. There's going to be another Passover in the kingdom. And then when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." He was talking about the first cup here. "When he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body.'" Okay, remember this. "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after he had eaten. This cup which is poured out, the third cup, the cup taken after the meal, he says, "This is the new covenant in my blood." This is the fulfillment. Going to the cross was renewing the covenant with Israel, even though they had committed idolatry and spiritual harlotry toward the Lord. He sat there with 12 Jewish witnesses at the Passover table, took the bread, said, "This is my body given for you. This is the blood of the covenant." But behold, so in other words, he's saying to them, "I'm renewing the marriage covenant with you." Just as Jeremiah foretold, "Behold, days are coming, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant," or a renewed covenant, "with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their ancestors my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them. But this is the covenant I will make with them in those days. I will put my Torah within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. No more will they say to one another, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. And then he goes to Passover, and he says, this cup is the new covenant, this cup of redemption, representing my blood on the cross and poured out for you. And this bread, this broken piece of bread, is my represents my body. What I'm going to do for you this day, because the day begins at night, the night before, so the day he went to the cross was the same day that he was having the Passover in Jewish calendar. It was the same day. On the morrow of this day, I'm going to do this for you. This is my body, and this blood is the new covenant. And you're my bride, house of Judah, house of Israel. Jeremiah's prophecy is fulfilled. Exodus prophecy is fulfilled. The renewed covenant of Moses is fulfilled. We see it twice. You see it? Incidentally, you can read Matthew 26 and see the same thing. I'm not going to read it, but I will say one thing. There's only one mention of the church being... This is Paul. He goes to the church I think it's the Corinthians. Let's see here. Doobie doobie doo. There's only one mention of betrothal to the church. And where Paul says to the church, where is that verse? Lord, help me. I had it. Well, he went to the church. I think it was Corinth. I think it's 2 Corinthians 11. What's that? I'm sorry, Pastor, I can't hear you. No, say it louder.
I said, I believe it's what Paul told him, that I have a spouse, Jew.
Yes. What verse is that? It's in the Bible. Here it is. For I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a pure virgin to Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:2. His name is Paul, circumcised on the eighth day, a Hebrew of Hebrews. So it took a Jew. Everybody say it took a Jew. It took a Jew. Why did God take 12 Jewish apostles and send them out to create these, to plant congregations all over Asia Minor? Thomas went to India. And so on and so forth. And Paul went to Rome and Corinth and Thessalonica and Philippi and Ephesians and all these places, planting congregations and then leaving guys like Timothy and Silas and Barnabas to take over and run them so he could go plant somewhere else, right? So he's the papa, and they're all Jews. There's a difference between the church then and the church today. There's no Jews anymore. the word church, we've talked about that, and I'm not going to get into it, but the word is really congregation. The congregations that they were planting, the ecclesia means congregation or assembly. The assemblies that Paul and the apostles were planting in those days They were Jewish. They didn't know. They didn't know in 60 AD. They didn't know what Easter was. They didn't know what Christmas. Do you know that Christmas didn't even arrive in the Holy Land till the 4th century? Catherine, I believe her name was, the mother of Constantine, she brought Christmas to the Holy Land. She brought it. They didn't celebrate it till the 4th century. Christians didn't celebrate it till the 4th century. In Bethlehem, the little town of Bethlehem didn't know what Christmas was until the 4th century. Seriously. You can look that up. Why did she go? Because she was a real Christian, and she had power and money, and she wanted to go to the Holy Land, so she went with a big entourage, and everywhere she went, she said to some Arab guy or some Jewish guy, what happened here? Or where was the resurrection? Or where was the Garden of Gethsemane? And the Arab guy said, oh, right over there. That's the... Oh, okay, so she built a church. And one good example of it is the Church of the Loaves and Fishes. If you read the Bible, she built it on the wrong side of the lake. Okay? The Bible says that the loaves and fishes miracle took place on the other side. Everybody say the other side. That's the eastern shore. That's the far shore. That's the desolate, empty shore where not many people live. Whenever you hear the other side, it's the far shore. The western shore is where everybody lives, most of the people. That's where Tiberias is. That's where the cities are. Capernaum is on the western shore. All the big towns are on the western shore. That's where the Catholic Church built the Church of the Loaves and Fishes, not the eastern shore. So am I saying that the Catholic Church messed everything up? No. They got some spots right. They got some wrong. You know, they tried. Praise the Lord. God bless the Catholics. I'm not angry with them. I used to be for what they did to the Jewish people. I've gotten over it. I forgave them. So I don't have resentment, but I have to tell you the truth. So why is Paul, and I'm going to end right here, but why is Paul betrothing the Corinthians? Why is he betrothing them to Christ? Why is a Jewish guy, a Jewish rabbi who planted that congregation? It would be like me. We did this. I said, everybody stand up. Okay, we're going to take a pledge. I betroth you to one Lord, to Yeshua, the Messiah. I betroth you to him. What gives me the right to do that? What gives Paul the right to do that? If Paul did it to the Corinthians, doesn't that mean that Peter should have done it for the church down in Caesarea? Or that Thomas should have done it for the churches in India and said, I betroth you to Christ because I'm the apostle, I'm the representative of Israel and Judah that God has chosen and sent me to betroth you so I can bring you in to the covenant? Is that what he's doing? Is he bringing them in to the covenant? Something's missing here. And what it is the law of the sojourner. And I don't have time to explain the law of the sojourner today. But I guess, do I have time for one more verse or do we want to go eat lunch? You want me to read the law of the sojourner? Okay, last verse, Numbers 15. This is what Paul was doing. And this is why Jesus sent Jews out to the church, the congregations that they planted. Numbers 15, 14. If an alien, foreigner, non-Jew, Gentile, if an alien sojourns, dwells with you, or one who may be among you throughout your generations, and he wishes to make an offering by fire as a soothing aroma to the Lord, just as you do, so he shall do. As for the assembly, there shall be one statute for you and for The alien who sojourns, who dwells with you, a perpetual statute throughout your generations, as you are, so shall the alien be before the Lord. There is to be one law, one Torah, and one ordinance for you and for the alien who sojourns with you. Now that law of the sojourner is repeated numerous times throughout the Bible. I'm not going to go through them all. If you get these newsletters, you can read them for yourself. Paul is sojourning. Why do these Jewish apostles plant these congregate? Why does he stay 2 years? I stayed 2 years in Corinth or whatever. Or I stayed a year in Thessalonica. Or I stayed 3 years in Philippi. Or I stayed a year and a half in Ephesus. Why is he spending so much time? He's sojourning. He's giving these people the chance to sojourn with a Jew. Because it's the law of the sojourner. And what does the sojourner get? He gets all the blessings of the Jew. But he has to dwell together. That's why messianic congregations exist. So that non-Jews can come in and receive all the blessings of the Jews by dwelling with us, by putting their hands to the plow with us. And they can receive all the covenants that God made with Israel and Judah by being joined in with us and sojourning. Please rise. I want to bless you. I've said enough. It's enough for one day. So we've seen the new covenant, the old covenant, the broken covenant, the renewed covenant, and then we saw the fulfillment of the covenant. Now, we've only seen the fulfillment of the betrothal. The marriage is yet to come in Revelation 19:7. Behold, the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride hath made herself ready, and to her was given fine linen, clean and white. The fine linen represents the righteous acts of the saints. And he said to me, blessed are they who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I've always asked you this question. If he's got his bride, who are the guests at the marriage supper? I'm not going to give you the answer. You're going to go home and think about that one. Revelation 19:7. He's there with his bride. She's dressed clean and white. She's got her white garments on. And then there's all these guests. It's just like a Passover Seder. I'm standing there with my bride as a picture. And then the guests are seated at the tables. So who is the bride and who are the guests? More homework. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yair Adonai panavilecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavilecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, and soon coming King, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Shabbat Shalom. And please join us for lunch and a celebration as we honor our Rebbetzin who's leaving us for...